Al-Bayan Radio presents The Perfect Example, a concise explanation of the depiction of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented by Waleed Mulhim.
Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Amma ba'd. All praise and thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. I bear witness and testify there is no deity worthy of worship except He, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last messenger brought to mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He deserves to be feared, and do not die except at the state of Islam. Alhamdulillah, we continue the brief explanation in this beautiful book that Imam al-Tirmidhi has compiled, naming the book Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the depiction of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We begin with chapter 33. Babu ma ja'a fi ta'atturi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This chapter will mention to us the reports pertaining to the perfume of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before mentioning the ahadith, wearing perfume is prescribed. It is the sunnah, and it is more emphasized in specific occasions and times. Of this, Salat al-Jum'ah is a place where the people gather, and this is why it is sunnah to make the ghusl. And we know there is different views regarding the ghusl on Yawm al-Jum'ah. Is it wajib? Is it mustahab? Is it sunnah? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, the correct view is that it is a sunnah. It is sunnah. But those who work, tradesmen, that have a smell that overcomes perfume or clean clothes, for them, it is more of an obligation for them to make ghusl. So firstly, wearing perfume is overemphasized in Jum'ah because this is where the people gather. Also, Salat al-Eid. And then you have before the person entering in the state of al-Ihram, because we know wearing the tayyib, wearing perfume after you have become in the state of Ihram, this is of the prohibited things, just like trimming the nails and cutting one's hair and placing something on the head for the male. And for the woman, wearing an iqab, that is a covering that is touching her face. And this is of course in the chapters of Hajj in Fiqh. Also, you have in reciting the Quran. This is, it's a blissful moment where the malaika, it is said, come to the reciter's face. And of course, the malaika surround the gatherings of ilm. And you have in circles of knowledge and in remembrance, remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we could sum up this saying, any gathering that is gathered for an occasion, it is more emphasized to wear the perfume. It is more emphasized to wear the perfume. This is because you are going to be mingling with different people, and the last thing you want to do is leave a bad smell or a smell that is disliked to those around you. So we begin with hadith number 216 عن موسى ابن أنس ابن مالك عن أبيه قال كان لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سكة يتطيب منها رواه أبو داود وإسناده صحيح. Anas ibn Malik is narrating that the Prophet ﷺ had a container that he would apply perfume from. So the Prophet ﷺ had a container for this. Had a container, specific container for this. Yani in Arabic, sukkatun wi'a'un min al-jild. Wi'a'un min al-jild. It is like a container that is made from leather. That is made from leather. Hadith number 217. عن ثمامة ابن عبد الله قال كان أنس ابن مالك لا يرد الطيب وقال أنس إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يرد الطيب رواه البخاري. Thumama is narrating in this hadith that Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنهما never refused when someone was to give him perfume. He never refused this, refused from accepting. And when was asked why is this the case, he said because the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم never refused this. And Abdul Razzaq al-Badr said, Anas ibn Malik never rejected perfume to follow the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we constantly mention in these lessons how the companions were in holding firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. It is not an ibadah technically. It is not an ibadah that is drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is a means to make the ibadah much more pleasant. But in itself, it is not a sajda. It is not a dhikr. It is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to do. So in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these matters is not an obligation. But you see that the companions, how much they not only loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they wanted to do everything he done. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, they wanted to do sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and radiallahu anhum. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, the reason why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never rejected the offering of perfume when it was offered to him was because it is light in weight and it has a good smell. Now this next hadith that we'll read right now, hadith number 218, informs us this. عن ابن عمر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث لا ترد الوسائد والدهن واللبن ورواه الترمذي وإسناده حسن. This is the hadith we just mentioned, or the meaning of. That here, Abdullah ibn Umar is informing us that the Prophet ﷺ said three things should not be refused. So if they are offered to you, these three things should not be refused. Of this is cushions and pillows. Or cushions, meaning a pillow. Perfume and milk. Now this, if we just have a look at this hadith, my brothers and sisters in Islam, a cushion, you may say, why? Because possibly when you're at a guest at somebody's home, and they may see that you are sitting in an awkward way, or you're sitting in a way that you're not comfortable. So this person gives you the wisada, this person gives you this cushion or pillow for you to lean back on and become comfortable in this gathering, for you to open up and become comfortable. So for you to refrain from this and not accept this, this will not only upset the person that's of course given it to you, but also you will be in this intense sort of position and state. So by receiving this, it is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ says, this is of the three things that is not to be refused. And we mentioned the perfume, that the hadith was mentioned previous, and milk. And milk. The Prophet ﷺ loved to drink milk. So if you're handed milk, unless of course you are allergic to milk, or unless milk upsets the person's stomach, of course, yani, you're not forced to drink the milk. But it is of the things that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said in this hadith, mentioned to us in this hadith, that should not be refused. Now, as Suyuti said, there actually in fact is seven things. Seven things that if it's offered to you, should accept not to refuse this. What is this? Of this is sweets. The Prophet ﷺ used to like sweets, something very small and tasty. And by refusing this, unless there is a medical reason or a specific reason, then by taking this, it puts the love between one another and also the person giving is happy. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Tahadu tahabu," and giving gifts, and this will increase in love with one another. So in giving, sometimes when the brother is giving something or the sister is giving something, even if you wish not to eat it there and then, maybe you could take this with you and give it to your son or daughter, or possibly husband or wife. So sweets, milk, incense, cushions, provisions given to a person in need, and perfume and basil. So if somebody's in need and they know they're in need, they did not ask, but somebody come to them and has given them something, whether it is sadaqah, whether it is clothes for their children or something for themselves, say alhamdulillah and take this, because it is pleasing to the giver and it is also pleasing for yourself once you have taken this and once you have taken it home, and especially if you're in need. And praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has created every slave for the purpose of each individual. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُسَخِّرُ الْعِبَادِ لِلْعِبَادِ. So for example, you're on the street and you find yourself, or a poor person finds himself, whether he was not poor and he lost his money, or a poor person who has no money and he is walking. And subhanAllah, he has not mentioned, he does not look like he's poor, the poor person, and the one who has lost his money has not informed anybody yet. But somebody comes and offers him something with no return and wants to walk off and just give this to the person. This is of course an example that possibly does not happen all the time. But this person who has come, this passerby, the one passing by, Allah has created him for the action there and then. So praise Allah. Say alhamdulillah. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just wanted to remove a difficulty from you by using another slave. Take this. Take this. So this is of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the three things that was mentioned in the hadith, and As-Suyuti rahimahullah mentioned that there is seven. Hadith number 219. عن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طيب الرجال ما ظهر ريحه وخفي لونه وطيب النساء ما ظهر لونه وخفي ريحه. وهذا الحديث في سنن أبي داود والترمذي. Abu Hurairah is narrating that the Prophet ﷺ said, perfume for the man is that which possesses fragrance that spreads and has no color. But the woman's perfume is that which has color, yet its fragrance does not spread. Yet its fragrance does not spread. It is known, my brothers and sisters, when we are mentioning, of course, these ahadith regarding perfume, it is directed to the males, especially when it is outside the home and mingling with the people. For the woman, it is for her to wear the perfume around her maharim only. So it's not for a woman to go outside of a home and say, I'm going to the masjid to pray, and she's using it as that it is a good deed, and I'm going to wear some perfume. This is not allowed, my sister in Islam. You can shower, you can wear clean clothes and go to the masjid. But by wearing perfume, especially If you were going to be passing by men and you were going to be close to those who are not from your maharim, not the father, nor the brother, nor the uncle, nor around her sons, this is not allowed Islamically. Of the prescribed times also to wear this perfume for the women and men, of course, when they are doing their intimacy with one another. To please the husband, to please the wife, this is of course of a good deed, because what pleases the wife and what pleases the husband, if they are doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with this. We go to hadith number 221. An Abi Uthman al-Nahdi qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا أعطي أحدكم الريحان فلا يرده فإنه خرج من الجنة. وهذا الحديث ضعيف رواه الترمذي. That this hadith that Uthman al-Nahdi is narrating, saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, if you were given the fragrance of basil, al-rayhan, he should not refuse this because it has been originated from the paradise. Now al-rayhan, نوع من الشجر أخضر اللون. It is a type of tree that is known to be a green tree, green leaves. أوراقه لها رائحة. And the leaves has a nice fragrance, nice smell. And the Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith that is in Sahih Muslim, من جاءه الريحان فلا يرده فإنه خفيف المحمل طيب الريح. The Prophet ﷺ said in a Sahih hadith that is in Muslim, the person who is given ريحان, let him not refuse this giving. Let him not refuse this. For indeed, it is light to hold and it is a nice smell. Because putting on perfume, when somebody gives you this perfume, my brother, you know, it is not a big burden, of course, on you. You're not holding a big ton of weights on you. But now, to make a note, for those brothers who are known to give a lot of perfume, and those brothers who receive it or sometimes wish not to receive it. There are some brothers that have an allergic reaction or maybe have a sensitive nose and are unable to take some smells. So, of course, here, it is not an obligation to take the perfume, especially if one may receive some rashes from this, or be harmed from this, or the smell is too much for him to take. You just inform the brother that you have a medical situation, or the brother is informed that the smell of it is too much to overcome. Whatever it may be, my brothers, return it back with him with nice words, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very easy amongst you. Moving on to the next chapter, chapter 34, بابو كيف كان كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The reports pertaining to the speech of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this chapter will mention to us how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to speak, his characteristics in speaking صلى الله عليه وسلم, and how those who he used to speak to used to take this speech. Hadith number 223, عن عائشة قالت ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسرد سردكم هذا ولكنه كان يتكلم بكلام بين فصل يحفظه من جلس إليه. رواه الترمذي وإسناده صحيح. عائشة is informing us in this beautiful hadith that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he used to speak, he would not speak with hastiness. ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسرد سردكم هذا الإسراع في الكلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not used to speak very quickly, because as we know, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his speech, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. Everything that came out of his mouth is wahi, revelation. The sunnah is a مبين للقرآن, مبين للقرآن, تفسير للقرآن. The words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a teaching, a guidance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not befitting for him, a messenger that is speaking, and every word that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is guidance to the Jannah, and it is a safeguard from the hellfire. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking, it is of much importance. Aisha is saying he did not used to speak very quickly. وَلَكِنَّهُ كَانَ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ بَيِّنٍ فَصْلٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak very clearly. His phrases were clear and would speak in a slow manner, so that everybody in front of him would remember or would have memorized what he has said. يَحْفَظُ مَنْ جَلَسَ إِلَيْهِ. So this is why we know and see that many of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have memorized hundreds of ahadith, some thousands of ahadith. How is this? They were not only Arabs that of course perfected the Arabic language that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to speak, or he spoke in with this revelation, but they were also receiving this beautiful information, this wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the perfect man walking on the earth with the most perfect of speech that was easy to understand and comprehend. So this shows, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the eloquence and the concise use of the words, and how importantly it is for us, one another, to speak very clearly amongst one another, because this is more of a mean for that second person or the crowd to not only memorize the words, but also to take this in. Hadith number 224 عن أنس بن مالك قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعيد الكلمة ثلاثا لتعقل عنه رواه البخاري. This is the second characteristic or of the characteristics that the Prophet ﷺ, we mentioned, would speak clearly, speak slowly. In here, this beautiful hadith, Anas ibn Malik is narrating that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would speak, in order for the listeners to understand what the Prophet ﷺ has said, he would repeat this three times. He would repeat his wording three times. And this is in many a hadith. Of the one that comes straight to my mind, the Prophet ﷺ was asked for advice. He said, لا تغضب فردد مرارا. لا تغضب, لا تغضب. He was asked for advice from the companion, and the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تغضب. And he repeated this phrase, لا تغضب, لا تغضب. Possibly the one speaking, the listeners maybe weren't listening to it so clear, or he spoke very quickly, so it missed the word that was mentioned or that was spoken. So by saying this phrase twice or three times, it is not only making it clear for the listener, but it is also emphasizing the importance of this speech, especially when it comes to Islamic knowledge. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do not be upset if the sheikh or the ustad or the student is speaking and maybe constantly repeats his phrases once or twice. This is, of course, repetition for us to take heed and to understand. And we take the best example. It is not something that is repeated in one majlis, but we see the khutbah, khutbatul jum'ah, the same ayat repeated. Ya ayyuha al-nas uttaqu rabbakum, ya ayyuha al-ladina amanu uttaqu Allah. It is talking about taqwa, and there are different ayat, but taqwa is mentioned 2-3 times. This is for us to remember. We must be God-fearing. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon taqwa, placing this barrier between us and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between us and the jahannam by doing good deeds. So this is of the characteristics of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that brings us to the end of that chapter, mentioning the beautiful phrases and the way that the Prophet ﷺ used to speak. And we also mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ loved to wear perfume. Perfume was of the things that he would not refuse to take. وجزاكم الله خيرا. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accepts from me and yourself. وجزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.